All right. I got to visiting and got away from me. Here we are. All right. Well, I see I have a gift this morning. Somebody brought me a silica gel packet. Says, do not eat. Thank you very much. Who is the presenter of the gift?
I just put it there. It was given to me to give to
you. It was given to you to give to me by someone who I would suspect maybe over here. For those of you who are not in on this and wondering what's this about, it's a little silica gel packet. And it's some people's morbid attempt at humor. Just because a few weeks ago I was sharing that I drank that green and red slimy shake every morning, and something tasted kind of gravelly in it, and I just was about halfway through and I thought, what? Something just didn't get ground up in here. But then I found something that was hung on my teeth, and it was the package of. So I somehow, out of one of those powders that I put in there, I got this thing. And I thought, something didn't grind up. And it's like silicon. But I couldn't read it quite. And I thought, what is this? And then I was telling everybody. They said, oh, you ate the silica gel packet. And then I realized, you ate that. It says, do not eat, throw away. So, but I felt really clean. For a while. So anyway, and the only problem was I kept drinking water. It just soaked up all the moisture. But thank you. And anyway, so, and then someone here said that their dog ate it and didn't die. So I thought, well, I'll be all right then. If it didn't kill the dog, it won't kill Tony. So,
we figured it'd been a couple of weeks since you had some. Your silica level might have been a little low.
Yeah, I might need more silica gel. Thanks for the water. Appreciate it. Thanks for the gel. I'll keep that around if I just get a craving. anyway, weird things happen, don't they? Yeah, so if you're ever drinking your shake or something and it's gravelly, you might want to stop and examine what happened. I dip this protein powder. I use vegetable protein powder, and I don't use soy powder. And so I use a veggie powder for my protein, and then beetroot powder. And try that. And then I use Garden of Life greens, powdered greens. And they have a little thing in there. Put all that together, and some apple and carrot. And you've got, and celery, I use a stalk of celery. Celery is good for your blood pressure. And so is the root. But you put all that together, it makes for a great color combination. And I put olive oil and avocado oil in that shake. And I want you to know, when you drink that, it's really good unless you get silica gel, and that adds a different touch to it. So the title of the message today is Stay Up. Stay Up. Some of this will touch on, be connected with another message or two. And last week, so we're talking about keep your eyes on Jesus. And well, we're going to talk about staying up this week and keeping your head where it's supposed to be and stay up. Stay above things. And don't let what's happening out here, don't let people bring you down to where you're not supposed to be. But let me read this. This is a New Living Translation. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, he said, we are pressed on every side by troubles. And my page doesn't want to turn, so just bear with me. I don't know why. So anyway, we're pressed on every side by troubles. We are perplexed but not driven to despair. We are hunted down but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. And through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. And you really need to read the rest of this. Please do. It's really powerful stuff. Because he talks about that they, in that day, he said, we're, you know, under constant danger because we serve Christ. Friends, this is relevant to our time. Those who serve Christ, we never thought, never dreamed that the United States of America, this could be the case. There's more religious persecution, and more Christian persecution, Christian attacks and slander coming from our own government than we've ever thought would ever be possible in this country. And it will continue as long as we have the type of people that we have now. And friends, you better stand. You stand in prayer and you pray against this. I read these reports: Christian schools, Christian universities being attacked. Why? Because we stand for something when everybody else stands for nothing. And that's what it's all about. We stand for God, for good, and others stand for evil. You know, I want to say this to you, and it's important that we all recognize this. This isn't a political message. It's just that sometimes that stuff, you can't get around all of it. But you know the reason so many people today reject Christ? Because they want to be Christ. And when someone tells you that they don't believe in God, you just look right at them and say, oh yes you do, and you want to be Him. Because when you reject God, you reject Jesus, you're putting yourself in that place. I was watching a particular little show I like, and a lot of you may not like it, but anyway, it was Men in Black, you know. And they were the first one, and the comment was made there by, you know, that, you know, Will Smith, when, you know, when his character, you know, he doesn't respect authority. And then the other one there said, neither do I. And I laughed at that, and then I thought, you know, what does that just say about you? You ever see that? Notice that? People that don't respect authority, they reject authority, they want to be the authority. Every time. When people rebel against authority, they want to be the authority. And so, watch all this. And these people, you know, in this day, and we're like this. We're pressed on every side with troubles, but we're not crushed. Friends, we have lots, Christian people have lots of troubles. We're perplexed. But we're not driven to despair. What does that mean? We're perplexed. We're frustrated. We get confused. We wonder why this is happening. What's going on? What do we do about it? They were doing that then. That's why this is written, and we have it now. And we're hunted down but never abandoned by God. And we get knocked down. And friends, that right there, the way this, that's why I used it in the New Living Translation for this particular message, is we get knocked down, don't we? How many here have been knocked down in the last month or two by something? Yeah. You get injured, an illness, somebody attacks you, it's finances, but you get knocked down. You get rejected, you have a big turn down for something, and things just hit you. From, you know, it's like, what, and our, you know, your first thing, what did I do to deserve this? Why is God so upset with me? Why is He picking and punishing me? He's not. You got to forget, there's a devil that goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. That's the scripture is very specific about that. And there's a war between God and Satan all the time. And the devil is always trying to take you and me down. By doing that, he gets a slap at God. That's the whole, he can't slap God, but he can slap at us. He can slap at God through hurting His people. So let's take this passage, and you know, we're pressed on every side. We have all this, and so we've got to stay up. Hebrews tells us without, you know, in chapter 11, that, and you won't see all these up here. I'm going to give you a few as we go along. that says without faith it's impossible to please God. For if you come to God, you must believe that God is. And that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Don't forget that passage. It's important. So let's look at our first point. Things, and I just put it this way. Things happen, but God always happens. Things happen, but God always happens. Everybody goes up against it somewhere from time to time. You hit the wall. You have that place where your faith in God is shaken, or you just don't understand. You say, I give to the Lord, I tithe, I go to church, I try to do everything I can, I'm praying, I'm trying to read Scripture, and then this stuff still happens. And so, you know, it happens, but God's happening too. He's always happening, and stuff will happen to you. Now, people that'll call me around, they want to meet, and we talk about this kind of stuff, and they ask those questions. I'm telling you, well, is there something I'm doing wrong? And I have to tell you, you know, I used to really scratch my head over that back in my younger days till God finally gave me that aha moment and understanding about the whole thing. And I used to ask it myself at times. You know, you're trying to do the best you can. Be as good as you can. Live this life and let Jesus live in you. You're really trying, you know, sincere people. And then stuff happens to you. And you throw up your hands, you know. You just, what is going on? What have I done wrong? And the answer to that is, it's what you're doing right. The devil would not mess with you if you were doing wrong. But he attacks God's people who are doing right and righteous things. And then the question comes, you know, will come at you, and it comes at me all the time, You know, is God punishing me? If he is, then the scripture's not true, because it says Jesus took our punishment upon himself. Is God judging me? Jesus was judged for our iniquities. He was chastised for our iniquities. So he took all that. So no, God's not judging you. Judgment has passed when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. There's a thing called chastisement where God will, he will narrow things in your life, and he'll put the pressure on through the convicting and the power of the Holy Spirit so that you get the idea, I don't need to do that again. But it doesn't punish you. He says he won't punish you. Jesus took that punishment. So he's not doing that. The devil wants us to picture God as a very mean, bad, you know, rough old man up there. Cranky God. And just get out of line 1 second and he's ready to throw a lightning bolt at you. The truth is, God is a loving God, and we know that, but we have to be reminded of it. And he loves us so much that he did what? He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish but have everlasting life. But do you really read what's next to that? What comes next? What did Jesus say? I did not come into the world to judge it, but to save it. So if you think you're being judged, the words of Jesus is, I didn't come to judge you, I came to save you. But stuff happens, and the enemy will throw things at you left and right. You have doubts, fears, frustration, your faith will waver. You know why? And this is what I can't get Christian people to open up with so many times. It's like I have to say to people, you know, admit your doubts. Oh, I don't. Do you doubt God? Oh, no, no. It's like, yes, you do, or you wouldn't be here. You're doubting God. You have fears that God is not blessing you or going to bless you like he blesses others. You're frustrated because this stuff is happening to you, and you're wondering, you ever done this? We've all done it. Something's happening going on in your life, and you look over here and say, God, I don't get it. That person over there, look at all the stuff they do. And you know that they're a pretty notorious sinner. Yeah, they go to church once in a while, and then they live like the devil the rest of the time. And it just like, they get a promotion, they get blessed, all this good stuff's happening to them, and here I am busting it and doing everything I know to do, and all this junk, you know, just a dump truck backs up and dumps it in my yard. You ever done that? You know, how do these people get away with it? Right now, you know, there's people, you see them on TV or wherever, and it's like, how do they keep getting away with this stuff? And you ever feel sorry for yourself? And poor me, you know, I can just bat my eye the wrong way and something bad happens. You ever feel that way? You know why? Scripture says God is not slow in doing what He promised. But He does not want anyone to perish. And so He's very long-suffering and He puts up with people. And those people that you think are getting away with things, and I have trouble with this too, especially in certain areas of life. It's like, they just keep on doing, and it's like, that's because this life on this earth is really very short. And they're going to face eternal damnation in hell. And God doesn't want them to go there. Even the ones that I can just... Just see their face on TV, and I'm thinking, you know, what, you know, we're all thinking, you know, where they can go. And God is saying, no, if you really knew what hell was like, you wouldn't want people to go there. And God's saying, even that person, as ugly as they are, as mean as they are, as evil as they are, I create them in my image, and they have chosen to taint that, and they've chosen to follow the devil, but I don't want to kill them early, because I let them die early, because when they go, they're gone, and there's no second hope for them. And Christians, that's the way we're supposed to look at that. We as the church, we as God's people, have to realize God is not enjoying the evil people do, but He is attempting through you and me praying, through others trying to witness, as hard as this is, we have to suffer things and be willing to do that so that other people can be saved. So when you're praying for God, and I do too, and I pray that God will take down every one of these people who are attempting to rule the world and dominate our lives and corrupt our whole church system, our government. But at the same time, God, what's the most important thing that God wants us to be praying for? Their salvation. Just think about it. What if one of these people really got saved? It'd shake the whole place up, wouldn't it? And that's what we're here to pray for. I know this is serious, and it's hard for us to want to do that. But one of the greatest challenges is to pray for your enemy. That's why He said, love your enemy. He didn't tell you to let your enemy just come and knock you down. As a Christian, if you're slapped in the face for witnessing Christ, He said, turn the other cheek. He wasn't talking about somebody that just comes and takes you on the street to take your wallet, to beat you up. They didn't do it because you're a Christian. They're doing it because they're a dirty, evil thief. I've had people ask me, Tony, aren't you as a pastor supposed to turn your cheek to that? And it's like, oh yeah, I'll turn my cheek while I'm pulling out whatever I need to pull out to fix this thing. And people have accused me of being radical, militaristic. And you know, when people accuse you of stuff like that, who cares? It's like if somebody slaps you today for preaching, would you have to turn the other cheek? I do my best. That's what I'm supposed to do. But if I walk out in that parking lot and somebody comes up with something and it's to take everything I have, they might not get the cheek turned. If God suddenly spoke and said, just don't do a thing, okay. But you follow me here? As a Christian, if somebody says, you know, you stand for Christ, yes, and they slap you, He said, that's when I want you to stand there and take it. And He said, your reward in heaven is great when you're persecuted like that. But when somebody evil takes you on just because they want to perform evil, I feel like, and I believe from all I read, it is our Christian calling and responsibility to stand against evil in every form. Now, I wouldn't say this if I didn't absolutely believe it. Why do you think I put a uniform on? Because I hate evil. and felt an obligation to do everything I could to defend this nation. The sad thing is that the very things we fought against, now we're tolerating here in this very country, and that's hard. But that's not our message today. It's just that things happen, but God's always happening. And no matter what happens to you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you see in the news, you remember this: God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. And God, you can depend on God to come through for you. He will do it. Just because it doesn't seem like it, feel like it, look like it at the moment, does not mean that God isn't working. And don't give up. He will come through. And I want you to know this: no temptation is overtaking you. This is in 1 Corinthians 10. And I use this for myself a lot. No temptation. And that word means trial, testing, tempting to sin. It covers that. No trial, no test, no temptation of sin has overtaken you except such as is common to man. So before you feel singled out, just remember, everything you go through, others are going through also. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will make the way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. And what does that mean for you? God knows how much you can take. You don't, but He does. I don't, but He does. And God won't let it overwhelm us if you keep above everything. Now, this is important. Listen, God has a stopping point. Listen to this. God has a stopping point with all trials and testing. God will get you through to the other side. Now, listen to me. This is important. You see a lot of evil in the world. And all our news agencies, but basically all of them, just focus on the bad. They lie to us. They don't tell you the truth. Anything you see in the news is subject to, man, and I have people say, well, I saw it on Facebook. It has to be true. Yeah, must be. You know, it's bound to be if it was on Facebook. No, there's no lies out there on that. But listen to me. When you decide to, and you think you're at the place where you're about ready to give up, I want you to remember something. Remember Hitler. Remember before him, way back, Nero of Rome. You remember these people caused millions of people to die. But one day they met their end. God stopped it. Why it went so long, that's where we get frustrated. We don't understand it. He said, God is long-suffering, but He'll answer you that in heaven. He hasn't given me the answer to it yet, and I don't find it in His book, except that He's long-suffering. He doesn't even want those kind of people in hell. But you realize there is a stopping point. And Stalin, all these evil people, you go back and look at Nero, and while I mention Nero, if you go back in time in the early Christians, Nero was the worst enemy they ever had. He put wax on Christians and put them in gardens and he lighted them up, burned them alive with wax, coated in wax. It's in Fox's Book of Martyrs. You can read that book and see what he did to Christians. And they died for their faith. This is not to be gross this morning. It's simply to say, they went through hell on earth, but they're in heaven. And they would not give up. And what happened? These people died, and they died violently. Just like Hitler and all the rest of them. So everyone, and I will say it right to anyone that wants to be a dictator and oppress people's lives and rule over them, you may get away with that for a little while, but hell will meet you before you know it. It's coming. And Christians, listen, God won't let us be pushed beyond what we can handle, no, whether it's your finances or it's a political thing or what, it doesn't matter. World calamities, God knows where you are, and He protects you with His angels, and His Spirit gives you wisdom and discernment and gives you strength to stand against the enemy. You just listen and listen and listen to God and stay above it. Don't be brought down to the world's level, ever. One of our great, great challenges is to stay up and stay above. That's our second point, is to stay up and stay above. I want to share this with you. And this may sound a little bit weird when you first hear it, but think on it. You cannot succeed by trying to be a good Christian. You cannot succeed by trying to be a good Christian. You succeed by letting Jesus Christ transform you into a good Christian. Because when you try to be a Christian, you become a religious person and you'll hate it. You'll despise the very thing you stand for. That's why there's so many mean, nasty, natured, so-called religious people that judge everybody because they've never understood you can't try to be a Christian. You become one through the transforming power of the living God. It's true. And that transformation happens when I give God the openness, if you want to say permission, to come into my heart and clean up the mess. And He'll do it. And He'll change you into what He wants you to be. Somebody that the Spirit is flowing out of is rivers of living water. There's so many people that don't get it. They're trying so hard to be a Christian. And it's like, God, look at you. You're miserable. They walk in churches. They get up. I've been around them. Go to church. That's how they are. And they sit in church. Many church. I've been there. I've pastored them. I've watched this. And they just sit there miserable. And they, you know, we used to pass the plate, you know, in the other denomination and all that. And you'd see them. And their poor hands, I thought, they're going to have to pry their fingers apart to drop those few coins in that plate. Well, you know, and I thought, won't you tell me? And we were kidding out, but some kidding here at the door. But tell me all about it. Tell me how your kids are not going to get to eat this week because you put 50 cents in the offering plate. And that's trying to be. You know what God says about giving? He said, God loves a cheerful giver. You'll never be a cheerful giver until you have the joy of the Lord in your heart. Quit trying to be a good Christian and ask God to make you into a good Christian. There's a huge difference. Jesus didn't come to help you, to stand over here and help you try to be good. Jesus came to make you good through His goodness inside. Everybody with me here? This is powerful stuff. You'll be so much happier, so full of joy, so free. Jesus said, you know, if you continue on my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and truth will set you free. And you'll have that kind of freedom once you realize this is not an exercise in the will. This is an experience of yielding to Christ and letting Him have control of my life. Mold me and make me, Lord. You are the potter. I am the clay. Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. That's powerful stuff. You'll succeed by letting Jesus transform you into who He wants you to be. And listen to me. You've got to keep your heart and mind on things above. Didn't hit this last week, the week before, on this particular part. We know that to be a Christian and to do the right, to be transformed, we've got to keep our heart and mind on Christ so He can transform us. But that expands into another area, and listen to me, this is tough, but it's important. Do not let those who are attempting to bring you down to their level, do not let them accomplish that. Our day-to-day living puts us in contact with people who do not care about our God and they do not care to be who He put them here to be. But they don't like the fact that you want to be godly. and they will try to bring you down to their level and put a cap on the whole thing and be able to point an accusing finger at you and say, well, another day you went out and did this with me and you got to cussing just like I did, and I called you some words and you called them back. Don't come down to people's level. Stay above. You know, when you're tempted to take a swing at somebody verbally, think about it. Who's going to be the bigger person here? The one who can say the nastiest words, or the one who can take the high road and stay above this thing? The challenge, it doesn't take anything to be nasty. Human beings are born to be nasty. You know, when people, you get that precious little baby and you got it and you bring it home and then you peel off that diaper, and I will guarantee you the shock comes. These little things are so sweet and precious and nasty. And then you'll learn, as you're putting on one diaper, they mess it up before you even get the other one tied on. And then when they learn to use that voice, this is how we're all, see, come into this, all of us come into this world, and people, I say these kind of things, people say, you don't like babies. I don't like poop. No, it's just, what do we do after that as we find our voice? We start screaming and yelling for what we want. I'm cold. I want my food. And then as we go beyond the bottle and we get to where we're crawling and walking around, everything's about us. And then we're taken out in public. We start to walk a little bit and we go out in public. And we look over and we're looking up, you know, and we see that candy. And I want that candy. And mom and dad say, no. And what do? Right? And we throw a tantrum. And I see this today. And I see parents. And you know what they do? Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. And they give them the candy. And I'm thinking, set that diaper afire. And they don't. And so we're trained to scream louder and scream louder and demand our way. And I want, I want, I want. And then as we start getting into school, and I mean, we throw these fits and we go home and we tell our mama and our dad how bad that teacher is, and this little girl and this little boy picked on me and that teacher. And boy, here we go charging. They charge into school and they chew out the teacher and all, instead of taking that kid out behind the corner and saying, you little brat. And I know, sorry, this is going out. And I will not recant. It's the truth. And so we become adults. We're in that place, young, we're supposed to be adults, and we're still back here in childhood screaming for candy, throwing tantrums, having fits. We see it all over the whole world. And our whole country is this way. And look at what happens. God is working on the human heart. He comes in and Jesus begins to convict of sin. And so here's this person that all this time, since the day they're born, has been pampered, taken care of, overly pampered, given everything they wanted. And then Jesus Christ, you know, he's still in the saving business. And so they ask him into their heart. But they don't get it. And then they go run into these guys who are more than happy to tell them that God is here to serve you. And just see, and that's why churches are growing today. They feed into this crud. It's fantastic marketing to make the music all about you and everything about you. The whole church is about you. And Santa Claus, God, is coming with a whole celestial chariot full of gifts. And they just stay spoiled Christian brats and affecting no one for good. If you think I'm being mean, I'm not. I'm trying to paint a picture here and show the difference between wannabe Christians, spoiled Christians, and dedicated, fierce warriors of Christ who come before Jesus, bow their knee, bow their heart, and say, God, I can't try to be one, and I'm not here to be served. I'm here to serve. Jesus Christ himself said, I didn't come here to be served, but to serve, to help you become transformed into who God wants you to be. Our parents come. It's amazing. I'm serious. They call and they say, can you meet with us? Yeah, I'll meet with you. I don't know what to do with their kids. What's your kid doing? I know the answer usually before, but I try not to prejudice myself. I know the answer before they tell me. Well, they're doing this and that, and they're getting in trouble at school and all that, and it's, what are you doing about it? How'd you raise them? And it's what I just described. Well, you've given them everything they've always wanted, so they go to school. What do you think they're going to do? And they come into churches and they demand their way. And I don't like the colors. Now, we've had this happen. I've seen it in every church I've ever been in. And they'll come in and you can tell these kind of people. And I don't like this. And I want it this way. And I want it that way. And they start demanding. They want it the way they want it. You know the way it is here? I'll say this just plainly and as lovingly as I can. The way it is here is the way it is here. We come and worship God. We come and lift up Jesus Christ. And that's it. And I have to tell, and you tell this to anyone, if they come in and they say, well, y'all need to be doing this, and then say, you know what? The way it is here is the way it is here. It's not all about form and all that stuff. It's about Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Well, go after and stay after the high road of being above. Keep your heart and mind on what's above. Remember, the enemy will use people and things of this world to bring you down to the world's level. Don't you stoop to it. Stay above it. Stay up. Stay above. Let me close, right? You ready for closing? Let's close. Okay. I heard somebody's stomach growl, so it's time to close. So let's go to this third one. I don't know why I wear these. This is a habit. I read just fine, as you can tell, without them, and yet still, it's a habit. It looks more scholarly. There you go. Maybe this would do. Okay. Anyway. So, third point. Just going to say it this way. Through Christ, you can do it. Through Christ, you can do it. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you quote that every day? When you hurt, when you don't feel good, when you're depressed, when people are saying some nasty things around you and about you, you keep this in mind. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You just remember another passage here in Romans that, if God is for me, who can be against me? God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. So with Jesus, God will surely give me all things. You quote that all the time. But you can do it. Whatever God wants you to do, whatever you have to face today, you can do it. Listen, this is tax season. You can sit down here and you just say yourself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And get it done. If you have to pay something, if you know something unexpected happens, hey, I'm the guy with bones going through the radiator. Incredible. You know what? How bizarre is that? And you know, at first I was upset, and then it's like God was just showing me, Tony, what'd you expect? You think that enemy ain't going to try to stop you from coming to church? If it wasn't for the prayers of your people, you keep me covered in prayer. We've got to pray for each other, man. Keep praying for me. Keep praying the blood of Jesus over me. Because stuff like that's just bizarre. And it's like, what was the real effort? Bring me down, see? Bring me down. Get me down. And keep me from coming to church. All this stuff. See how he works? And listen to me. If the enemy can ever get me turned around, twisted around, and get me to fall, then he can try to domino the rest of you. One of the greatest things you'll ever do for me is to keep me prayed up all the time. Because that stuff comes that I just, it's like, whoa, even bones. Bones? But bones. They're still laughing about it. Mechanic talked to me the other day. It's a funny story we've been telling everybody. We got this guy that bones fly through his radiator. It's like, yeah, real funny. It's not you paying. But it is funny. And listen, that just reminds of something here so important. And I'm going to close, really. This is a practical message. It's a spiritual message, but practical one. You know, when a bone goes through your radiator, however that applies to you, you can either let it get you down and you can throw a fit, or you can find some laughter and joy in it. I mean, after all, it didn't kill you. And you know, as long as you're still walking and breathing and you have Jesus in your heart, there's a whole lot of things we're upset about that we don't need to be. We have that. We got a bunch. And I'm going to tell you something else that becomes more important in time. You look around in here. You've got a Christian family and you've got friends. Not everybody can say that. And that's worth more than a bone through a radiator. I can guarantee you. So God has a plan for you, and you choose and determine that you're going to follow that plan. You will. God will show you what He wants you to do. You realize that God will, listen, realize that God wills for you to have His joy, His Spirit. I want to close with this. It's important. Let God love you. Let Him love you. Let Him love you through His Word, His Spirit, and let God love you through His people. Do you see how the enemy has used this pandemic thing and all to keep that from happening? He doesn't want us to be near each other. He's tried to separate the people of God. You blame politicians, it's the devil, and you need to rebuke him, and they will fall. All of the followers of the enemy will fall if you cut the head off the snake, come against the one who's behind it. You bind that devil, and two or more gathered in my name, I'm there also. He said, you can do it, you can bind it. You come against that devil. He's using this kind of stuff to try to separate us, keep us mistrusting of each other. You know, don't touch anybody. Be worried they got something. We were doing this long before this pandemic came along, and God protected us through all that. You see the work of the enemy, but I see the work of the living God, and I have to stand in His name and say, in the name of Jesus, I got to do what I got to do. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to be who I'm supposed to be. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to get there and I'm going to do it and trust God to provide and to protect. That's the way it is. Whatever's happened in your life, accept it, confess it, and let Jesus Christ put it in the past and leave it there. Yesterday is gone. Let it go. The mistakes you made, confess them and move on. Learn from them and keep going. Listen, one of the things God had to... I just put a note here. Okay, you ready for it? You ready? The past is no longer yours. It lies strictly in the hands of the living God. So quit claiming it. It's today that counts. And I'm a new creation in Christ today, aren't you? So trust God. Trust God. And trust God. The thief, as Jesus said over in John, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and give it in abundance. Now, friends, start living. Stay above and start living in Christ. All right, God, close. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for your goodness, your grace, your forgiveness, your love. Help us to start living. We get so tied up in all the stuff. We feel like there's just ropes and chains around us. Break them off. Just tear them off, God. Set us free. That we can laugh in our heart again. We can have the joy of the Lord. As the psalmist said, Lord, renew a right spirit within me. God, help us to quit trying to be what you want us to be and just be. You transform us, change us, and you'll tear the enemy apart, break his strongholds in Jesus' name, destroy our generational sins. God, break them. Set us free from bondage. Fill us to overflowing with your presence, your spirit, as rivers of living water. And God, do it all for your praise and honor and glory. And use us to give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you for being here this morning.